When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Rossap. It's July 22nd, 2024. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Drop a comment, drop a super chat or humper chat if you want your question or statement read on the air. That's how you get your statement in. That's how, if you got any inquiries, you let us know. Us being myself and Denise Salcedo. Denise, my gosh, I see you next week, don't I?
Oh, yeah, I do. I completely forgot about that.
When do you get in?
I forget. I have like short-term memory right now, Sean. I'm just like, I remember everything that's happening the day of and everything else. I don't even think about tomorrow until tomorrow happens. That's how I'm living my life right now.
When do you get in?
Hold on. Let me check.
Oh,
I get in August 1st. I told you. Okay. I have no idea.
August 1st. That's when I'm driving in as well. I'm driving up.
Must
here
be
from
nice.
Kentucky to Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to drive for 6 hours in a giant Ford Bronco.
It's nice though, because you get to sing your songs, you get to listen to your podcast, you get to blast your AC.
Okay.
You want to stop and get a snack.
The places I've been going to lately is like just Chicago, and that's like an hour flight from, it's like 50 minutes. So compared to that, like when I get to walk into the ghost town airport here in Lexington, Kentucky, no way. I much prefer that. But guys, if you're here, leave a thumbs up, get your super chats and humper chats in. Our great moderator, Luis, will be reading them for us. That is how you support us. You can also support us at FightfulSelect.com. We had some pretty big news this week. PWN had reported that a few names were off of the internal roster, being Tamina, MVP, and Bobby Lashley. Fightful Select reported that Bobby Lashley's contract is up pretty soon. MVPs will be up as well. They are both planning on continuing to wrestle. Can't say the same for Tamina. We'll talk more about that momentarily. But in addition to that, just a wealth of other wrestling news over the last week, just for $5, for anybody who goes, by God, who would want to pay for wrestling news? We had news on MXM. We had news on Sammy Guevara returning, Hikaleo signing with WWE, AEW Dallas. And I'll say this one for anybody that goes, yeah, but Tony Khan said not in the immediate future. Well, AEW's got their pay-per-views announced for the rest of the 2024 year. I wouldn't call 2025 the immediate future. So keep your eye on that Dallas possible stadium show. We had news on Tubi being interested in getting a new wrestling show. MLW free agents, Ring of Honor, and some of the care that's going to be given to that. A lot of the WWE trademark news, some people that WWE is and isn't interested in. And of course, a whole lot of WWE backstage news, all that stuff. Now, I am going to address a super chat. Now, I'm not going to read it because it's not fair, because MVP never outright claimed this, but somebody's asking what I think of MVP alluding to Triple H not giving care to the Hurt Business, and if there is any motivation behind that, racial motivation. It's something I'm looking into to see how people kind of feel about it, but there were an awful lot of people that felt like the Hurt Business should have had more put into it, but both during the previous regime and the current regime. Denise, I know I've spoken an awful lot, but we did hear Tamina likely finished wrestling. She hasn't wrestled in over a year. She's off the internal roster page. There aren't created plans for her. They expect her to stay in the family, so to speak. MVP is hitting the bricks. Still under contract as of now. That will be expiring. Bobby Lashley looks to be on his way out. What were your thoughts when you heard all this?
Well, my thoughts when I heard this was instantly just, I don't blame Bobby Lashley, because I go back immediately to thinking about WrestleMania 39 and how he was trying to still get a WrestleMania match very last minute and nothing happened. And I had interviewed him that weekend and he had told me, he based on of his wording and just body language, I got the gist that, you know, he was bummed that he wasn't going to have a WrestleMania match. And I remember he had spoken about how he really wanted to see the Hurt Business feud with the Bloodline and what an awesome thing that that would be. And we never saw that. Then on top of that, you had this whole partnership with him and the Street Profits, and everyone's thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be something really cool. And nothing really came of that either. In fact, I feel like if anything, it kind of brought down his stock as well as the stock of the Street Profits. And so when they kind of basically quietly broke that up, it was like, okay, good. I'm kind of glad, because that wasn't really going anywhere. And when you do think of the Black presence over on WWE, you're not really seeing very much on Raw or SmackDown. So yeah, I can definitely see them being, you know, maybe a little bit irritated that they're not seeing certain black wrestlers be pushed or get into certain positions. And so I could see that being a little bit of a frustration, and also see that as a, hey, I want to maybe go out someplace else, whether that be AEW or TNA. I want to go and show that, hey, the Hurt Business does have something to offer. Who knows? But it is a serious conversation to have, because if people are unhappy, and of course we're just assuming here, but if it is what it is in terms of them feeling like there's not an opportunity for them because of their skin color, then that's a whole different story, sure, right? That's a very serious topic. But of course, I don't know if that's ever going to come out. And if so, how can that be proven? Who the hell knows, right? So, I just think that if Bobby Lashley stays with WWE, then that would mean that there would have to be some promises or some changes at least made, where you at least see him on TV. Like, I don't even remember really anything he's been doing on the show as of late.
Now, there were a couple of situations that were really out of anybody's control. I know Bobby got hurt for a little bit in 2019. And of course, Bray Wyatt getting sick really derailed a lot of creative plans there, then hurt a little bit earlier this year. But the Hurt Business absolutely should have had more put into it. Still, Lashley became a two-time WWE champion, two-time US champion, two-time Intercontinental champion, won the Andre, whatever that means at this point, and did form the Hurt Business in this six-year run with WWE in his mid-40s.
And he doesn't even look like it, I should add.
No.
Or move like it. Like, he still moves like, you know, like he's not in his 40s.
And based on what we know, he's capable of the same things that he was capable of prior. There aren't a lot of things he can't do. He ages really well, not just from a visual and physical perspective, but outside the ring or inside the ring as well. The MVP one, I'm like, okay, that's a little bit more of a hurdle. Obviously, like, he says he's not hung up his boots, but listen, there's a story out there of him knocking out Chris Jericho on the Jericho Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Jericho's got some pull in AEW. I don't know how that will affect anything or anybody, but it's definitely something that you have to weigh and consider and realize that it may play into him maybe or maybe not popping up somewhere. I want to see MVP do Bloodsport. I want to see Bobby Lashley do Bloodsport too, by the way, but I would love to see MVP do it because he's done a lot of high-level grappling as well. Then there's the one that not anybody's talking about, and that's Tamina. And was she ever like great in the ring? No. The tag run with Nia was, you know, she got the accolades and all that stuff, but matches weren't good. I know there was a match last year that just really, or not last year, it was late 2022 that didn't sit well with some officials, and she hasn't been used in a year and a half. That being said, one of the most universally liked and adored people backstage. Chelsea Green once told me a story about when she broke her wrist in her SmackDown match years ago. She's like, I would have shattered it if Tamina wouldn't have taken care of me and protected me and kept me out of the ring. Like, I know that to mother is a mean, but like, it's true. That's how people view her within the company. And she's not been backstage in a very long time. A lot of wrestlers that I've spoken with said that they haven't really heard from her much. There are multiple
Wasn't
reasons.
She also the one that was hanging out with CM Punk when he went to the arena, when he was still with AEW, he was there with Tamina.
Absolutely. But, I think that she had, I mean, my God, she was there for over a decade, came in with the Usos, all that. And she will be connected to the company for years to come, just based on people that she's connected to in that regard. But you know what? She had a good long career. She made an awful lot of money. She made an awful lot of friends. She positively impacted a lot of people. And if this is it for Tamina as a performer, which as of right now, it looks like it is, you know, wishing the best for her. Heard nothing but good things about her as a human being. So three of those to keep your eye on, guys. Of course, we're going to update you at FightfulSelect.com. There are zero wrestling websites in the history of the universe that have had more contract news than Fightful Select. So check it out, FightfulSelect.com. And Will says, do you know about Mako's WWE deal? Seems like she's got the best deal ever. She stays in Japan, works one to two matches per year in NXT. Well, a lot of those deals were pretty specific to a geographical region when they were signed. And you can't necessarily force somebody to relocate based on the terms of some of those deals. I'm not saying that's the case with her, but there are reasons why some of them just didn't end up coming over here. There were some hurdles there. I don't know what hers are, but I mean, like, this is a woman who wrestled in WCW. That's how long she's been in the game. So I think that she has absolutely earned that. Tony P says, with rumors saying Hurt Business could be reformed in AEW, what faction would you believe they could feud with? What would be a top money story or program highlighting the other faction and Hurt Business like they should have been if handled right? Well, the obvious one.
Blackpool Combat Club for me.
Exactly. Tell me your thoughts on that, Denise.
Well, I was just thinking, like, okay, I would want the Hurt Business to be like a hard-hitting team. Who is a hard-hitting team? Opposite of that, okay, the Blackpool Combat Club. Yep. That was really my thought process with that.
Yep, like same. I think Blackpool Combat Club are the best ones. A reminder, guys, Raw will be on Sci-Fi each of the next 2 weeks because of the Olympics. Denise, what's your favorite Olympic event?
I like gymnastics.
Okay, interesting. So, passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are we going to do the SRS versus Denise
Olympics? Girl, I was wondering where this was going. I was like, why are you asking me what my favorite Olympic sport is?
Are we going to do the SRS versus
Denise You have Olympics? Been saying this, and every time I tell you let's do something, you just ignore me.
All right, I'll remember that.
It's true. Sean, you've been saying this for years that we're going to do these Olympics.
Here we
and
go,
every
guys.
Time I say, oh, we're in the same vicinity, let's I'm do a video, challenge. You're like, oh, I'm having lunch here. I'm going to go do this. I have to go do that. I'm like,
you've
oh.
never challenged me to an event. It's never
okay,
happened.
Fine. I challenge you to an event.
Okay. It's going to happen next week, guys. Next week in Cleveland.
What are we going to do in Cleveland?
I probably will both lose because that's the only thing that happens in Cleveland.
We need to write it down, though, Sean. Like, we need to write down
right.
what we're doing because that way, you know, it could be fun.
It will be fun. Jay Miller says, Jelly Roll concert means less matches. You getting pumped up for Jelly Roll?
I don't want to be a hater, but I'm not because I don't know his music. I don't know who he really is. I only heard of him because of WWE. Sorry, I'm that person. I'm going to be the person in the comment going, who? That's going to be me.
K775 says, how many title changes do we see at SummerSlam? I think Gunther wins.
That's one. The women's title for Bayley's, that's two.
Oh, you think that Bayley's one's changing hands?
Yeah, I think Bayley's losing. That's two.
I think Tiffany and Nia sort of foil one another. I think LA Knight will win.
So then that's three.
I got two. I think Liv retains over Rhea. Cody retains over Solo. There's already seven matches.
All the titles.
I mean, like, for everybody talking about, like, fewer matches, like, there's seven set. Braun Breaker's winning that IC title, too.
So
I think three.
I think four.
I see Braun Breaker, LA Knight, and Gunther. That's who I see.
I see all of those plus Bayley.
Okay. Well, Gunther cut a promo and Damian Priest immediately came out and they just got into it. Tamel Donta says, would you rather Gunther go into Berlin as the champion or challenger? I think he goes in as a conquering champion. That's what I would do.
I think so too. That's the idea that I've already built up in my head, the scenario that I've built up.
But yeah, I mean, I think he should go in as a conquering champion. I love what they did here. He got really, really personal last week. And then Damian Priest said, nope, it's on site nonstop. And they fought, and then they fought through the commercial. Then backstage, they tried to get a word with Gunther, and Damian Priest attacked again. I loved how this worked. I'm a big fan of Peter Griffin versus the Chicken stories where two guys can't be separated. There's one. I want one to go on for like months and months and months, and they try to keep them on separate shows. But I thought that this was very effective. I don't know what they're going to do next week, but this week I felt that they really highlighted that Damian Priest was very pissed off about the things that Gunther was saying.
And they absolutely needed to do that. I love that he went out there and did not want to hear him talk anymore and just went into this brawl. This was my favorite Damian Priest moment as World Heavyweight Champion. Him just attacking freaking Gunther and them brawling. Although I was so pissed when the brawl was just starting to get really good and they went to a commercial. I was so mad. I was like, you're really doing this to me? You make me watch how many freaking rest holds on this TV show, yet the second that there's a brawl, we go to a commercial break? I was so mad. But I was happy that they did continue the brawl in the back and there were some cool moments. Although I was irritated when they came and broke it up really fast because kind of part of me wanted them to go a little bit longer. Like, dude, there was just such good energy surrounding both of them because they were both so fired up and so angry, and they both felt like they legitimately wanted to kill each other. And so I was irritated that we went to a commercial break and they robbed me of having a couple of moments of that freaking brawl. And then they robbed me of some more moments when they brought up the securities and everybody to break them apart. I loved this segment. I thought it was really well done, even though I felt like I got robbed of some of these moments.
I see people acting like Berlin is like home territory for Gunther. Like, he lives 8.5, like Austria is 8.5 hours away from there. Like, Atlanta is 3 hours closer to me. And if, like, I went to Atlanta, you wouldn't be saying, like, the hometown boy.
Yeah, because even, like, San Francisco is, like, a five-hour drive from Los Angeles, like, 5-6 hour drive, depending on traffic, right? So I wouldn't be able to – so 8 hours would be, like, Portland. No, Portland – no, that would be northern. Nope, that would
– either
Portland,
way.
I think it's, like, 11 hours. Whatever, it's between Portland and San Francisco, and that wouldn't be my hometown.
Get those super chats. Get those humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate it. Will Chisholm says, Sean, you heard any update on the Megan Bain stuff? I know Dave said she may work with Marigold, but what have you heard? Here's the extent of what I know. She was under contract. She had a dark match. Tony recommended that she get reps elsewhere. Stardom was where she went. She got very over there. People close to her claim that she is no longer under AEW contract. However, she had been in contact with Rocky Romero about coming in. That doesn't mean that she's coming into AEW, but there had been some creative pitches along the way. I know that one of their fears when Marigold started was that Megan Bain would effectively be farmed off to WWE or something like that. I haven't heard anything regarding that, but I wouldn't be surprised if she ended up working Marigold or anything. I don't have any firm info one way or another, but it wouldn't surprise me necessarily. But I mean, listen, Marigold and AEW don't play nice. Stardom and AEW play nice. So I think that would be a pretty distinct line in the sand.
We should make a cute little chart, Sean. You should put this on Fightful and make a cute little chart of who gets along with who, which promotion likes each other. Make a little connection.
It's everybody in the world and then AAA over here. And then there's WWE and everybody else that doesn't get along right up there.
Make a cute little chart. Have Jeremy get on it and put it on Fightful.
It's not a bad idea.
I know. It's a great idea.
We had a Gunther profile piece as well, but Bron Breakker defeated Ilya Dragunov. This match just flat out humped Denise. My God, these two guys went at it. Top contender match for the IC title. A lot of people were up in arms. They're like, why not a triple threat? Why not a triple threat? I would have preferred a triple threat personally. That's what I think would have fit. But Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov went out and made the Intercontinental title seem more important. We're talking about Ilya powerbombing Bron, dropping him across the ring post. There was a Death Valley driver on the apron. There was this, they call it the Breakensteiner, which I love now, off the top rope. And then Bron Breakker beats him with a spear and Ilya's head cracks the apron. I'm told he's fine. I believe it was set up. They showed him an awful lot after that. But, you know, I will check and make sure, guys, for those of you that are worried. But I thought
feel like
this
they only
was
showed him like two times. I didn't feel like they showed him that much because I was keeping an eye out for that.
Still, they keep that camera off of him usually. But still, this is exactly the type of match that I think is important to have when you're setting up a contender match for the IC title because it makes it seem very important. That's what Braun's after right now. How'd you feel about this one?
Well, I mean, like you mentioned, that Death Valley driver on the ring apron, I was like, oh my God, that looks so freaking good. The freaking superplex, the H-bomb, all of that. Man, there was just a lot of really great moments. And one of the things that I was talking about when I was watching this match was that the reason why Bron Breakker and Ilya Dragunov just goes off so well is that both of these guys have something, two things in common, really. It's intensity and power. They match, like all the people are saying, they match each other's freak when they wrestle each other. And that's the thing that I most enjoyed about watching them work together is just like the entire, like all the cool spots that they did, but just the overall energy That matters because nothing's worse than seeing someone at a 10 and seeing someone at a 4. Nope, these guys were definitely bringing it. And the ending, I was like, okay, I really hope that this isn't something serious for Ilya Dragunov. I was sort of just like 50-50 on it, and they did a really good job if it was you know, if that's the way that it was supposed to play out, great. They did a phenomenal job because when Ilya Dragunov's head looked like it hit the freaking ring apron, I thought, oh, like right away you saw that. Like you just saw his head just go whoop, like hit that ring apron, and that looked terrible. The second replay that they showed, I really didn't care for the angle because I couldn't really tell. I wanted to see the original version that we had seen, the live shot. I wanted to see that one again because that's the one that I felt that you could see. The second replay that they did, I felt like I couldn't really tell too much whether or not that was supposed to happen or not.
Incredible match. So like the one thing that like an AEW or elsewhere has on WWE is the in-ring. And if they're out there putting on matches like this, that's going to help WWE an awful lot with that perception because they are just out there killing it. And I wasn't quite sure when Ilya got called up how he would fit in. And I look at him a lot like AJ Styles 2016, where they needed like a pit bull there. They needed somebody who's a little bit smaller than everybody else to just go out there and push people and push people and push people. And Ilya's doing it. And I think that Ilya is going to perpetually stay over as a result of this. I do believe right now Bron Breakker is the guy for that. And we had somebody asking that who do we see as the main eventers in WWE in 10 years? Well, Bron Breakker and Tiffany Stratton are the two that are there now that I see in that spot. But just, wow. I look at that and I go, yeah, he's very clearly a guy. And Ilya Dragunov is going to be a guy for the next several years that's just going to push people in the ring. Because you got to keep up with him, Denise, just like you said. And I feel like he makes you keep up with him.
Yeah.
Like if you are at that 4, he's going to knock you up a couple notches, I think.
Yeah, and you better, or else you're just going to look terrible. It's going to come out and it's going to look obvious and people are going to get upset and you don't want to look like you suck. You definitely want to do that. But I almost feel like Ilya Dragunov is Triple H's new little, I don't even know what the right word is, but he's that secret ingredient, Sean, where I feel like he's thinking, oh, I need a good match on the show. I need a good wrestling match. Who am I going to throw in there? I'm going to throw in Ilya Dragunov. And that's sort of how I'm seeing Ilya, where I feel like that is, because it's true. When I talk to a lot of people that are primarily WWE fans, and they always tell me, like the ones that have decided to give AEW a chance, they always say the same thing, like, oh, I love WWE more because it just feels different. But AEW does have the better wrestling. That's always what I hear from people. And so that's the one thing that AEW has definitely gotten right. So Triple H, clearly this is a competition. He's gonna want to start having better matches. Of course, there's always gonna be different from AEW. I don't think that they're ever gonna be the same. And you might have moments and you might have certain matches that definitely do hit that same way, because we've seen them. But I do think that Ilya Dragunov is one of those guys that I think Triple H sees and goes like, I'm going to throw him. He's like Chad Gable, you know, someone that you're going to utilize in pretty much anytime you need a great match on the card. It's Chad Gable. It's Ilya Dragunov. It's guys like that.
Melissa says, what time is All In Central Time? Per their website, 11 a.m. Central Time. Who do I think will leave AEW next? Is Ricochet up? I would be surprised if WWE did not make a play for Penta. I don't know if he's going to leave, but I'd be surprised if they didn't make an offer for Penta. I'd be surprised if they didn't try to get Daniel Garcia, because you know there are some people there that believe he's staying and believe he's signed. I've not confirmed that Daniel Garcia has re-signed, so I would be surprised if they don't try to offer him as well.
I think AEW has done right so far by Daniel Garcia. They've been doing a lot to really push him and do a lot with him. If I'm Daniel Garcia, I don't know if I'm too eager to leave a situation like that and just hop on over, because he's not that big of a star yet. And I think that AEW could help him get there. And what better time to, if you do want to go to WWE, what a better time to go when you're actually a like legit star. So why not take the time and build that up in AEW? And then as for Penta, I would hope that WWE is trying to get Penta. Everybody should be trying to get Penta. Are you crazy? Are you kidding me? Everybody, bro. Let's start a promotion, you and I, and we try to get Penta.
I think Aero Lucha did try that. You're familiar with them.
I was going to say, was he on those shows?
I'm technically your boss.
Everybody.
I was technically your boss, Denise. We sarcastically invested in Aero Lucha.
I had a lot of interesting bosses during my time at Aero Lucha, Sean. you don't even know half my stories.
Hold on. There's one that ain't that interesting. Terry Allen Jr. says, Omos with MVP was nice. Well, Omos returned to TV. I've not heard him brought up in any capacity, which is, you know, a bummer. I think that he's a great live event talent, too. Like, he's a guy you want to put on house shows. That way, kids that go there, they will remember Omos. But I've not heard anything about him on TV.
Dude, I was the, don't laugh at me, okay? But I was the biggest Great Khali fan. Don't laugh. I love the Great Khali. And part of it had to do, well, the whole thing had to do with his size. He wasn't out there freaking doing a shooting star press. But I was hella impressed by the Great Khali. I was always a fan because people like that, that are like, you know, people you've never seen before that size, is just wild. So at that time, you know, I was a lot younger. So I was very impressed by the Great Khali.
Cray says Lashley versus Cody needs to happen before he leaves. It isn't going to happen. Rafael Garcia says, so Ilya is what Dean Malenko was in the past. Yes. Dean Malenko is also one of the funniest human beings I have ever met in my
life. Dude, you know what I want to ask Dean Malenko? Why was his vest so freaking tiny? Have you ever thought about that?
That's a good question.
It was so tiny. Go back and look. Why was it so tiny?
That's a good question. Well, guys, if you have questions about how the heck you're going to afford so many pay-per-views, Nord. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/Fightful will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out NordVPN.com/Fightful, guys. It is just infinitely useful. One of our longest sponsors, one of our best sponsors, our most generous sponsors. Check them out, NordVPN. Sonya Deville defeated Lyra Valkyria. So Lyra was getting pushed very, very heavily when Becky was still around, and it has died down significantly. Like, I mean,
noticed that.
Significantly. And I thought she was doing really, really good, but they had her like at the top of the food chain. And just like, so let's see, she lost to Sonya. They lost to Damage Control. She didn't win the ladder match. She did win a qualifier. She lost to Io Sky as well. It's definitely calmed down quite a bit. Any cause for concern on your behalf?
No, I'm not going to say cause for concern on my behalf just yet. Just yet. But if there's a starting line, I would probably be starting to warm up a little bit to get to that starting line, because I thought this match that she had with Sonya, and now I don't know if it was Sonya, I don't know if it was just the layout or the format of this match, but I have seen Lyra Valkyria have a million, or not a million, but you know what I mean. I've seen her have a lot of really good matches, a lot of really great matches where she just goes out there and she's so hard hitting and she's going, 100 miles per hour. And I didn't feel like we really saw that in here. Now, I don't know if it was just she didn't have that chemistry with Sonya Deville, but I really do think that so many of her matches on NXT were really great. And we haven't really seen that of her since the tournament. Cause I did think she did great in the tournament. If you remember all of her matches that she had, that she had during the tournament, and she did really good in that. And even in the match that she had with Nia Jax, The match that she had with Nia Jax, I thought she did great in that. And the fact
Nia
that
has been to the finals, way better during this run too. But yeah, I agree.
Right, right. But I do think that it kind of feels like they're having her, they're not highlighting her in the same way that they were, like you said, when Becky was there. And when Becky was there, they made sure to have all of these little backstage interactions with one another. And there, that was telling us that, hey, they were trying to give Lyra a personality, trying to give her like a little story, trying to give her anything on the show on top of the matches that she was having during the tournament, right? And now she's playing background character to Kayden and Katana, an act that were background characters. So now they're background, she's background to the background. Is there even a term for that? What's the term for that? The background to, she's the extra to the extras. I don't know.
I've had trouble getting into the Kayden Katana thing just because it's so stop and start in that sense. But Sonya gets a win, and Sonya's, you know, they're at least coming out of the gate with her pretty heavily, which I'm for. I just hope that it's consistent, because sometimes what they'll do is they'll give them a couple wins. It's like, oh, they're back. Then they start to 50-50 them a little bit. I complained a lot about Zelina not getting wins. She did get a win tonight over Zoe. I got no problem with that, especially if they're going to have her out there saying, I'm going to be front of the line, yada, yada. I don't know how much I'm buying into necessarily the character performer aspects. They got CM Punk, who they're like, no, you can't touch anybody. You can't touch anybody. You're not cleared. And then they're like, sure, Zelina, all 4'10" of you, go out braced up with a near broken arm. Feel free to use that. I'm like, well, I'm glad she got the win, but it just doesn't make sense from a consistency standpoint.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm like, they not give a damn about Zelina within kayfabe? Was Adam Pearce drinking during that? What was going on?
I don't have an answer for you, because I was thinking something totally different during this. I was thinking, why the hell can't Zoe Stark beat this girl who has one arm?
Yeah.
I thought she should have finished her off quickly. I'm like, dude, she has one arm that she's wrestling with, Zoe. Like, we've seen Zoe be very powerful in the ring. She's very aggressive, very mean in the ring. And I love that. That's what's gotten Zoe over for me. And you have her in this match where she's struggling wrestling a girl with one arm. That was what I was thinking about during this entire thing. Now, don't get me wrong, I loved the finish. I loved that she used the freaking brace to hit her. And even though she cheated, it was almost, I guess, sort of justified, because they did that to her. So cool, whatever. She got her revenge. Great. But at the same time, Zoe should not be losing to a girl with one arm. I'm sorry.
Fair. Backstage, Sonya's squad confronts the Unholy Union. Unholy Union will be on SmackDown this week. But Sonya and company say, nah, we're coming for those titles. And they're like, you're getting beat by Zelina. What's it matter? Fair point.
So two things that I want to say about this. One thing that I'm happy about, one thing that I'm not happy about. The one thing I am happy about is that they're finally showing a little bit more of Alba and Isla, where they were on SmackDown and they did confront, and I say confront in quotations because they came out in a video, not in person, to Jade and Bianca. And then they had this moment here with Sonya and Zoe and Shayna. Cool. I like that. They're having multiple teams coming after them, as they should. But the thing I don't like is that they don't even have them wrestle. They don't even have them have these matches. I think the last time I checked, they've had one match since they won the title, Sean. What the hell? What are we doing here? They could easily be going out there and having matches. They could be easily going out there and defeating Kayden and Katana, anything, just to get them some wins. And so right now, the team is all talk and nothing else. And that's where my problem lies, is just the fact that they haven't had them defend those titles or even had them in matches for non-title anything.
You got titles, use them, utilize the contention for them, make stakes out of it. Will says Zelina had the power of the House of Black. That's why she worked the match. Rock Hard Joel Wood says, how likely as of now do you see Motor City Machine Guns joining WWE? I think they will. Brandon says, any word on Brock Lesnar? The accusations were fairly damning, but it's been fairly quiet on that front. Lawsuits do not proceed quickly, and especially this one, which is paused as a result of some other things. But WWE and 2K went to great cost to remove him from the video game. Literally, Denise and I were at a 2K event and saw a build where he was in there. They had to physically remove him from a lot of that game. It is not a cheap thing. You don't see him mentioned outside of an occasional ad lib reference. He just hasn't been in the plans.
So he's not in the 2K4 game, 2K24 game at all, right? Is he?
No. Well, no? I mean, okay. There are some historical elements in which he's still featured.
Okay.
But yeah. Tamel says, with the majority of Bullet Club now with WWE, do you think they do an actual story with them? No. If this were a few years ago, I would say yes. But I think that WWE rightfully feels as if they don't really need to capitalize off of a Bullet Club thing. They got their own thing with the Bloodline, and they can just keep on growing. There's a whole bunch more that they can add to that as well. So they don't need Bullet Club. Now, I do feel like when they were far more creatively bankrupt as a company and as, you know, just creatively in general, that was a nice crutch they should have relied on better. But I think that ship has sailed, Denise.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't feel as hot as it was once was.
Pete Dunne and Bronson Reed gets canceled because Sheamus hits a brogue kick on Dunne. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, reported that this was the only match not scheduled for two segments. It didn't go any segments because the match didn't happen. Is this a triple threat you're looking forward to? And what do you think the Sheamus Dunne thing is? Because Sheamus is like, listen, we could have settled this by going and drinking a pint and just doing all that. Don't know what your issue is with me, but I'm kind of glad that Dunne isn't going right back to Sheamus's side, even though I do think they would make an interesting tag team.
I was going to ask you the same thing. This match is happening for SummerSlam, right? Like a triple threat at SummerSlam, because that's kind of what I want. So that's happening, right?
I doubt it's SummerSlam. I could see it on a Raw. I don't think it'd fit on SummerSlam.
They could make it fit for a match like that and actually let them.
I think these days that's a Raw match. I really do.
Oh, I know. But I think that they could have such a good match together. And the reason I say that is because I can see them having a match similar to like what we saw with Gunther and Drew and Sheamus at WrestleMania. I can see them having their version of that kind of a match. And so that's why part of me was like, I really want this at SummerSlam. Help, throw it on a pre-show. Bro, that pre-show is like 2 hours. You're telling me you can't throw that match in there in a freaking two-hour pre-show?
They could, but I think considering they already have 7 matches set, and we're usually looking at 5 or 6.
Well, at least we get less commercials, right?
I doubt it. CC Bonbon says, now what for the Street Profits? They are geeks still. They need to heat them up. They need to heat them up very quickly. Them and DIY would be white hot. It'd be so good if they did that. But they've got to put some more stock into them. Nikki Cross vignette. This was much shorter, about a quarter of the length of the other ones. And there was no interview. It was just kind of a look and it's sort of consistent with the brain of the character that we know. A little bit all over the place outside of when she was Nikki A.S.H. I have long liked Nikki as a performer. She's one of my favorite people to do media with as well. Sure, it's to establish her, and they got a couple more of these to go, Denise.
I liked this because, like you mentioned, it fits the mold of her character because so what they did when they had Bo go out there and talk is they humanized Bo, right? Because before that, we didn't really know what the story was, what Wyatt Six was going to do or anything like that. And when they had Eric Rowan go out there, same thing. It was like, okay, he's not just a monster. He's also been humanized here. With Nikki Cross, they didn't do that. She's still unhinged. She's still crazy. She's still mysterious. And I think that's 100% what I still want her to be. I want her to be mysterious. I want her to be creepy, the creepy girl that takes out the VHS and all of that. That works for her. And the scream, oh, I love that. Keep doing it. I want to see more of that. Like, that to me just fits her character so perfectly. And I think we've talked about it so many times now, where we've talked about the range that Nikki Cross has, because she can be Nikki Cross, she can be this, what we're seeing, and she can be Nikki ASH. And so she has them skills, man. She has them improv acting skills down.
Couple of plugs, guys. Over on my Twitter account, I have a pinned tweet for a replica title belt giveaway. You retweet the post, you subscribe to Fightful Scraps. For those of you who don't know what that is, it is our clips channel. We've got hundreds of clips there already from this show, from interviews and the like. And you can get additional entries. We're going to be doing a lot of those thanks to a sponsor that we have. And also, guys, please donate to the Dementia Society of America. I wrestled a match at GCW, last Thursday. And we were able to raise thousands of dollars for the Dementia Society of America. So if you don't mind, please make a donation over there. Also, if for some reason you are interested in how that came about and the ins and outs of that match, I did a new Fightful Tells All with Mike from Indeed over on Fightful Select. Denise and I actually did one of these for the cluster a few years ago, because I'm like, well, even if nobody cares, I feel like it'd be hypocritical if I didn't pull back the curtain.
Wasn't that one of like the most popular podcasts we've done?
It was. I really think it was the best podcast we ever did. I really do. It was very good. I've done it on that. I did it with Chaza for that match, but it wasn't not just those. I did it for the CM Punk story as well. And I'm going to do it for additional stories in the future, like breaking the news of Cody's contract coming up. We're going to do some Fightful Tells All on those. There are just some that we can't do them on because there's still like sensitive information and sources that we can't really put out there. But CM Punk comes out, then Drew Mac. Actually, we get a little bit of a back and forth here. CM Punk wants to fight. He's cleared. Drew McIntyre comes out. He wants to fight. Adam Pearce says, hell nah. You guys are going to fight at SummerSlam, and I'm going to make sure that everything happens according to plan, because Seth Rollins is going to be the special guest referee. It's one of those things where you could sort of predict it was happening. It all depended on who was cleared and who wasn't. And I mean, as of like a month ago, none of these guys were cleared. They were all battling injuries. So this is great to see, because this is a big match. If this main events SummerSlam, I would be completely fine. Don't think it will, but if it did, I would be completely fine. And I want to see what the dude King Troy does with Seth Rollins. That is Seth and Becky's stylist. I want to see what kind of referee gear Seth Rollins has at SummerSlam. Because it ain't going to be some. It ain't going to be some normal shirt. Look at you over there. What are you wearing? Wool?
Sean, I don't want to be distracted by Seth's outfit during the match. He's a referee.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Bro, I'm looking forward to this match with Drew and CM Punk. I want to see the match. I don't want to be distracted by the referee's clothes.
Anyway, what did you think about the segment?
I didn't even want a special guest referee. I hate special guest referees in certain situations. Because
you never get them, though.
Bro, I feel like, man, I just really wanted to see I just wanted to see this match between Drew and CM Punk. I didn't want none of this extra stuff.
Well, lucky for you, you're going to get to see it like 3 or 4 times, Denise, assuming, you know, everybody stays healthy. But, yeah.
I don't know. Now
I'm excited for it. This is such a big time match. It didn't need the title. I think that having Seth involved does work. But
what are you going to do when Seth comes out with a big giant ass outfit and the whole match we're just seeing, we're seeing all of this flying around and shit? What are you going to do, Sean? What are you going to do? No, it's going to be stupid. No.
It's going to be great.
I just hope it's not all foo-foo and big and
foo-foo.
The whole time I'm just watching Seth Rollins' outfit.
Mr. Acosta says that's going to have the booty shorts like HBK.
Okay, if he does the booty shorts with some bedazzlement, Fine. Yeah, that's but that's distracting too.
That's what Will Chisholm said too. He said his ass cheeks are going to be hanging out.
Damn, oh my God. He's going to come out with some big like stripes. You remember those big red boots? But instead it's going to be the black and white stripes on the boots.
He said that he could wrestle a match in those. I, in Detroit, got invited to the StockX headquarters, and I got to try a pair of those on. If he can wrestle in those, I would love to see him wrestle in those. I don't think it's possible. That is unreal. They are so ridiculous to walk in.
You'd be surprised. I mean, look at the shoes Lady Gaga wears.
She ain't wrestling, though.
Yeah, but she's walking. And she's wearing, it's like these giant heels.
Walking
like
and wrestling
big.
Aren't the same. You got a bump.
Sometimes you just be walking and your ankle goes burp.
Exactly. But I mean,
but she's walking with like big giant heels like this. You know, like
she can't
I'm
bump and
huge.
Feed with those heels. She's not going to fall flat on her back, then turn around.
Yeah, but the boots don't have heels. The boots don't have heels. They're just heavy.
They might as well. Like they're so massive. You can't really.
Technically, wouldn't they count as a weapon if he wrestles with those?
No, they're kind of rubbery or soft. It's
But you take a boot to the face with that.
It wouldn't hurt any more than a regular boot.
Okay.
Tony says, "Well, this was an odd show. I don't get why Drew doesn't beat up Adam after all this. He should. At some point, Drew should just whip Adam Pierce's ass. And why is Adam Pierce constantly drinking on the job? He is all the time saying, I need a drink. I'm like,
he needs a drink, bro. He's stressed out.
Man, Seth is going to read his referee rules next week, by the way. Final Testament defeated Xavier Woods, Akira Tozawa, and Otis. So next week we get Woods versus Cross because Cross ends up pinning Woods. This was a really, really good match, and we don't get to see this type of stuff enough out of the Final Testament, in my opinion, considering they are a trios and they are a unit and all that. Now, considering Tozawa was involved in this, I thought he was going to end up taking the pin. Happy birthday to him, by the way. But Cross pins Xavier. I thought it was going to go another way, but I loved the match. I thought they did great in the ring.
Skip me for this one.
Okay. Well, K775 says, what's the end game for Cross and Woods? I would hope that it's some sort of New Day reunion in some capacity, but I haven't heard anything that indicates that's going to happen. I mean, from what I understand, Big E has just been very forthright and honest about his status with the fans. But I just go ahead, Miss Skip Me.
Okay, just really quickly, I think Xavier Woods, Okada. Otis, because I was thinking Otis. Oh, wow, Otis and Akira. If you say it really fast. Okay, whatever. So Xavier Woods, Otis, and Akira, I thought did really great in this match. They were a lot of fun. I was happy to see them. I haven't seen Otis wrestle in the longest time. So I was very excited to see him wrestle. There you go. Some nice things to say.
Mr. Akasa says ref shirt should be that Jeff Jarrett 90s ring gear. Sure. That would be kind of fun with little stripes on it. But yeah, I love the Final Testament. New Day match. I thought that was very good. However, Chad Gable comes out and he offers Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine a spot back in the Alpha Academy. They all decline and the Creeds jump. Now, again, I think the ship sailed on the white hot Otis turn. I mean, like people are into him and stuff, but like they could have really had something had he whipped Chad Gable's ass. And after he whipped Chad Gable's ass, they could have done the Wyatt family stuff that night. And then you maybe see that sensitive side of Otis where he's like, you know, I was sick of him and I hated that, but I don't feel great that I did that knowing what happened to him later. But instead, they just kind of just didn't do it. He shoved him down and all that stuff, and there wasn't much to it.
Losing to the Final Testament. Let's add that part too.
Yeah, sure.
They shouldn't be losing to the Final Testament.
Meanwhile, the Wyatt family music hits. Uncle Howdy shows up in the ring, and Uncle Howdy hits Chad Gable with one of the filthiest goddamn Sister Abigails you are ever going to see. Chad Gable absolutely ate the mat on this. This was just a naughty sell on his behalf. Jesus Christ, Denise, you could not have possibly put that move over any more than what Chad Gable did.
And the crowd, man, their reaction was insane to that too. It was like if everybody just at the same time had the that type of reaction. It was very cool to see. And the impact of that was really great.
I just thought this was really good. It got good buzz as well. Great job from them. Great job from them.
This has probably been the best thing because the thing they did last week sort of got like some mixed reviews, I feel. This week, everything that they did was effective. It didn't feel silly. Yeah. It felt like a big deal. With one move, and it was a big deal.
Denise, right now, Liv Morgan is a massive favorite at BetOnline AG at SummerSlam. If you were a betting man, would you say that Liv Morgan will leave SummerSlam with Dominic Mysterio? If you were making those BetOnline AG odds.
Well, if I was a man, yeah, for sure, I would be voting for Liv Morgan. You said if I was a better man, be putting my vote on Liv Morgan.
BetOnline has been trusted for 25 years. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with high limits and rebet functionality, whether you're a man or a woman or whatever the hell it was that Denise was just trying to do. They got the fastest payouts, MLB, UFC, boxing, the Olympics, F1. Tennis, PGA, all that stuff. They got the most popular games. You can compare their competitors on their site as well. They're trusted by millions, and they have a great VIP rewards program. The payouts come in minutes in this safe and secure environment. They are a trusted platform. Check them out, BetOnline AG. Right now, they have Cody Rhodes as a gigantic favorite. I mean, Cody Rhodes is more than twice as much of a favorite than anybody else on this show. LA Knight is favored to win the U.S. title. Gunther favored to win the world title. Nia Jax slightly favored to win the world title, as Denise said. So if Denise is a betting man, she is on BetOnline AG's side there. I can't believe you said what you just said, Denise. I can't believe you did it in that voice. I can't believe that you thought that that was a thing.
That's my man voice. What are you talking about? That's my man voice.
Yo, Sean, you want to get a couple of beers?
Dominic and Rhea and Judgment Day are all backstage. Eventually, Liv pulls Dom away and is caught by Finn Balor. Backstage, Carlito spills the beans to Rhea, and Rhea says, nope, we're going out to the ring. They go out to the ring, and Liv will not join them. She's standing up at the concourse, and she says, you know, gorgeous men like Dominic don't want women that look like you. They want women that look like me. She turned around, and my video of it, let's see how many bookmarks do you think it has so far?
Based on the shorts Liv Morgan was wearing, I'm going to say a lot.
676 marks, 585 retweets.
She looked good.
Sorry. That's when he made her cry. It's 780 bookmarks. My bad, guys. But yeah, I saw a lot of people that took issue with what Liv said. And I was like, well, she's a heel, and she's obviously, within the context of this, delusional.
Sometimes I feel like, and I had a feeling that was going to happen too, by the way, but that crossed my mind. I was like, I bet you some people are going to get offended by this. And I don't really think that there's really a reason to get offended. I, as a woman, laughed my ass off at that. And not because I'm going to sit here and be like, oh, well, she's totally right. Of course she's not right. She's a heel. She was just using this like old school mentality that the only women that are considered gorgeous are blonde, white, and blue eyed. And that's
there were some definite stories.
Right. But that's but that's clearly she's a heel and no one's going to believe that, you know, that's just her mentality.
There have definitely been some story beats here that I've taken issue with. That wasn't one of them. That's just her being like, I'm hotter than you. And Tony says it was terrible.
That's okay if you believe that, but I'm just not with you.
Sometimes I don't know. I like when you go low sometimes like that, especially because if the fans know it's bullshit, especially when you think about it this way. Rhea Ripley is one of the women that gets like the most thirst tweets ever. She's the one that everyone's like gawking over. And so I feel like them writing in that line, everyone was like, oh, BS. That's not true.
Rhea Ripley is the talent that my non-wrestling friends, whether they're men or women, say, who is that? How do you know her? What does she do? Without fail.
Yes. I have to tell you, my sister, and I'll just tell you what her reaction was to Rhea. I'll tell you off air her reaction to somebody else. So she doesn't know anything about wrestling, my sister, okay? She's 19. She was 18 at the time. Does not know anything about wrestling. And the kids came over and we decided to put the little game for them. And we were going through the slides. And the first slide was Rhea Ripley. And when she saw, it was the first slide was somebody else. The second slide was Rhea Ripley. When she saw Rhea Ripley, her reaction was exactly what you said. Who is that?
Yep. Literally. Everybody, she has the airport appeal that you know that she does something important. Marco says, no question. Just wanted to send a shout out to Liv Morgan's shorts. They were tonight's MVP. I mean, listen, I guess so. I guess you're losing one MVP and getting another. Tamel says, do you think Liv versus Rhea is a one-off or not? If not, when do you think is their final blow-off? No, I think Dom joins Liv and then they do an additional match as well.
Yep.
Flame Inc. says, Dom's a prick. Liv needs a hug now. So Liv asked Dom to say those three words and Dom said, I hate you. I never liked you. Stay away from me. Will says, I did laugh that Liv acted like she knew what Dom was saying in Spanish. And Brandon says, Denise, did Dom say anything interesting in Spanish?
Yeah, he called her a pendeja.
Okay.
That could be very well, I mean, a pendeja is like a dumbass, like an idiot, but it just sounds so much more meaner in Spanish. Like if someone on the street called me a pendeja, I'd be like, oh, you want to freaking throw down? You want to throw down? I would fight somebody if they called me a pendeja. That was the one where I was like, oh, he called her that? And then the rest was him basically saying that he hates her and that he doesn't like her. It was nothing too crazy. It was just the part where he called her a pendeja.
So I believe he was, I think he said the word understand. I knew that one. He said something about her not being able to understand or asking her why she understood or why she didn't understand what he was saying to her.
And oh, he's like, why don't you understand that I don't like you? It was, it was something along those lines of that. Why don't you don't understand, get it in your head. That's why he called her a pendeja.
And then he called her stupid and said he hated her, I believe.
Yeah. And then he said that, that he hates her. He hates her with all his life, which I think technically isn't it supposed to be, I hate you with all my heart.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the same as you, I hate you with all my heart, but he said, I hate you with all my life. So I was like,
learning Spanish, hot diggity damn. I knew a little bit of it. Vic says, nice
in a loving way too.
Vic says, nice little performance from Dom and Liv. Put on for Rhea, huh? Winking emoji. Oh yeah. I think.
Oh, Rhea looked like a goof falling for all of that. Are you kidding me? Like a goof falling for all of that. How and dare they Pat, do that to Rhea?
Pat was like, that's all he had to do the whole time was say that. I got to say, there was one particular line, Denise, that killed me. They were promoting Raw on Sci-Fi. And Pat looks at the camera and goes, yeah, lifelong dream. And I lost it.
I don't get it.
He was being sarcastic, saying that doing Raw on Sci-Fi was a lifelong dream for him.
Oh,
good shit. Okay. Judgment Day looked for Jay. Well, they found him. They found Sami Zayn as well. And then they had a match. It was non-title though. And then Jay and Sami beat the tag team champions in a non-title match. Tony says, the main event was good at least, as Jay is tag champ again with Sami, or he goes after Braun for the IC. So we'll talk about Braun after. But if Braun beats Sami for the IC title, why in the hell would they not get a tag title shot? Because they just beat the tag champions. Good match. You know it's going to be a good match.
why wouldn't they get a tag title shot?
I don't know. Maybe they will. Maybe we don't know that for sure. Maybe they will next week or the week after that. That's all I've got.
What'd you think of the match itself?
All right. Well, the match itself. Sorry, I thought you were queuing me up for just the first part. The match itself, I thought, was every tag team match that I'm just going to say this. I feel like I have seen a zillion Finn Balor tag team matches at this point that they're all sort of blending in and becoming the exact same thing. But I'm not going to take away from this match, though. This was an entertaining matchup. I thought they did a good job. The Finn Balor, the Sami Zayn, Jey Uso entrance that they did at the very beginning also... I mean, I think that just hypes people up. People like it. It's fun to see. Oh, JD McDonagh hit a very nice moonsault. I don't know that I've ever noticed his moonsaults before, but I sure as hell noticed it today. Yeah. Have you noticed his moonsaults before? Because I'd never noticed them.
Yeah. Literally, I mean, today they don't happen often, as best
right.
I know. But
I thought, damn, I've been shitting on poor JD McDonagh this whole time, and he's had a nice moonsault.
He can work his ass off, man. He can work his ass off. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he's got his big head.
Yeah. That's the joke.
His big head gives him the magical good moonsault.
One of my favorite quotes is when I asked Cody about it, and he said, you know, I'm really glad that more people are talking about this. He felt like it was important. Dream Ninja says Dom already has insane heat. When he turns on Rhea, it's going to hit nuclear detonation heat. Yeah, it is.
I hope they throw trash at him. Are we allowed to do that? Like nice trash? Like I'm talking potato chip
you're
bags.
You're not going to do that. No.
Not like ice and cups. I'm talking like napkins. Soft stuff.
Napkins won't travel. They won't.
None of you do like a really good like little airplane.
Not napkins, maybe like a piece of paper or something, but not napkins. And then even then, like the air conditioning in a venue like that, it's very hard to predict. But after this match, Bron Breakker comes out, spears Sami Zayn. They're doing good about weaving him in and out of this and then leaving him as a lasting image. He is going to be a top guy for a very, very long time. So now I got a lot of questions. Not questions necessarily, because Jay ran him off. I think Bron Breakker's beating Sami Zayn. And what I would like to see is Sami Zayn and Jey Uso team up and challenge for the tag titles. Don't know if they'll win them, but I'm also like, well, what's Jey doing right now? From a singles perspective, like he ain't going to win the world title right now. I mean, he could challenge Gunther for it down the line, but he's also not going to win the IC title, but he could challenge Bron Breakker for it. And that could be interesting. Or he could compete in the tag division with Sami. But also that does seem like a little bit of a step back for Jay, who just got out of a tag team a while back with his brother.
So it feels like his only spots right now are being a good challenger to any of the champions. Cause that's honestly what you were saying was literally what I was thinking was, okay, yeah. I'd like to see him against Gunther. I'd like to see him against Bron Breakker. I could see them being a challenger for both of them, like a first challenger for either one of them. And that's kind of the only direction that I'm seeing right now until he gets back involved with this bloodline story, which I'm assuming is going to happen, right? He's going to get back involved somehow.
Somehow that would make sense. Yeah. I would think so. Will Chisholm says Sami and Jay teaming together could be a tease of them joining OG bloodline at some point. I feel like you got to make a trade in that sense, but worth remembering, Roman's a free agent. Roman is not anchored to a brand. So there's a lot of things that could pop up there. Denise, tell the people what you got going on.
Oh, shit. I thought we still had more to talk about. I'm like leaning back. I'm ready. I'm like, oh, there's still more. All right. Well, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. I've been posting a lot of content on there. I've been posting SummerSlam rewinds every single day. So 22 videos have gone up on my channel covering so far 1988 through I think I'm on 2015 right now has gone up. So just keep an eye out for that if you're interested in some nostalgia and why I hate special guest referees at SummerSlam. Go back and watch some of those and you'll understand why. And except for one that I really did love, but that was in the earlier years, which we were talking about with Shawn Michaels. And anyways, so there you go. Check those out.
Guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I dropped a bit of a combined show today that was very well received. For years, I've done the Backstage Report, which basically reviews all of our scoops over the last week, gives you guys more news. And then on Fridays, I would do a Q&A. I combined them this week to see how you guys liked it, and the response was overwhelming. Looks like we're going to keep those shows combined for at least a while. So check that out, guys. We had the Weekender. A lot of you say, why doesn't Fightful cover this promotion, this promotion, this promotion? We do on the Weekender on Fightful Select, and we have a Discord over there exclusive for Fightful Select members. The SummerSlam post show, I'm going to be calling into it, hopefully, but it'll be hosted by Grapsody's Righteous Reg and Phil Lindsay here on Fightful. So make sure you guys check that out as well. I've got some really, really fun pay-per-view co-hosts lined up throughout the end of the year. Juan says, are Murder City Machine Gun signing with WWE? I believe so, but I can't report that they are. Guys, until next time, we're out.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, you black men out there tried to hide your criminal records and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.